Okay, being a good citizen. Being a good citizen. We start with just with Romans 13, verses 1 to 7. We're going to look at this. We should submit to the governing authorities. Okay? I mean, God instituted human government after the flood. He said, whoever sheds man's blood by man, his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. We should submit to governing authorities better than the world submits to governing authorities. I mean, if we get upset about something, we might do a peaceful protest and exercise our freedom of speech, but I don't see any Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Christians throwing bricks through somebody else's businesses. Okay? Why? Because we're good citizens. We submit to lawful government authority. Now, we have to keep in mind the mystery of lawlessness is at work. And the early church, that they viewed the restrainer, they reviewed basically God restraining lawlessness through government. And when government, instead of protecting the law-abiding and punishing the lawbreakers, starts protecting the lawbreakers and punishing the law-abiding citizens, it's going to open the floodgates for the Antichrist. And I think that's what we see with neo-Marxism and with socialism. And we'll talk about it. This is something new. No, this isn't something new. You know, we're going to read quotes that go way back exposing this stuff. I mean, Carl, you know, as he would do campus ministries and as he came to Christ and as he saw the stuff was going on, even in as far back as the 70s, he saw. I remember the day I met him at the Golden Tides, Carl told me that the whole gay rights movement and transgender stuff and all this politically correct stuff, it's all Marxist at its core. And I thought he was a nut until I started studying it more. And so we'll talk about that a little. I really recommend you watch my video on cultural Marxism. Look up cultural Marxism with my name on YouTube, or you can go to sermonaudio.com/IBD, and that will kind of show how we got to cultural Marxism, okay? But that's what's going on today. By the way, socialism and communism, you can split a few hairs there, but there's not a lot. Communism is the final classless society, which you'll never get to. Socialism is the dictatorship of the proletariat, dictatorship of the working class. So basically, USSR, one of those S's stands for socialist. Okay? So for all practical purposes, communism and socialism are synonymous. The reason why socialists don't like calling themselves communist anymore, okay, is because of the, you know, over 100 million people who've been slaughtered in the name of socialism. By the way, the idea that the communists are the good guys, the Marxists are the good guys, and the Nazis are the bad guys. No, the Nazis are just national socialists, and the fascists are just national socialists. In other words, they're patriotic about their country. They want their country first, but they still want to take over the world, and they still want all-powerful government, what I call the deification of the state. So, yes, international socialists like we see today, they're on the left, and to the right of them, okay, the further right you go, the less government you get, to the right of them are the national socialists. But the idea that everybody who's on the right is a Nazi, no, you're forgetting all about Thomas Jefferson out here. You're forgetting about George Washington. Where we have limited government, we have state sovereignty, and things of that sort. So let's look at Romans 13, 1 to 7. But for all practical purposes, communism and socialism are synonymous. And anybody who tells you differently is either uninformed or they're trying to sell you a bill of goods. Actually, they're trying to steal your goods. But Romans 13, 1 to 7. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. See, this is the whole debate comes up. What do you do when government goes illegitimate and becomes a terror to good people and backs evil. It's run by evil crooks. Even St. Augustine dealt with this in 380 AD. Government is supposed to serve mankind by enforcing God's moral laws. Okay? So, you know, an individual to be saved, an individual like me or you, we need salvation by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone. But the salvation of cultures is going to depend upon how much or how little that culture submits to God's moral laws. Okay? And so rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. This is where the apostles, you know, here, you know, do what is good, and then you'll have praise from the authorities. Well, the apostles were getting persecuted for preaching Jesus. And so they said, we must obey God rather than men, Acts 5:29. But we got to be good citizens. It's when the government goes corrupt where there's going to have to be civil disobedience. And we got a government that tells us because of a virus that kills less than 1% of the people it infects, and it's way less than that if you're under 75 years old and you don't have other conditions. They're willing to shut down our churches over that. Not social justice, i.e. neo-Marxist protests. They won't shut that down. Nobody gets arrested for not wearing a mask in a protest. But they'll shut down the churches. So we got to really question, is this mystery of lawlessness at work? But we submit. We submit to the governing authorities. When they try to force us to disobey God, then we say we must obey God rather than men. Verse 4, for he is God's minister to you for good, the governing authorities. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, when you look at that, what did God give to the governing authorities? I mean, in Romans 12, he says, don't take your own vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So Paul's basically saying, turn the other cheek. However, if you're wronged, you can go to the governing authorities, because God's delegated some of his authority to bring wrath down on an evildoer by giving the government his sword. God did not give the government flour. It's the church's job to share the gospel, to love people, to take care of helpless people. Okay? The church hasn't been doing a very good job, but I'll be honest with you, the government doesn't want the church to do a good job. The government wants to control that. The government, just like the ancient emperors, they want to give the people just enough bread and circuses to keep them happy. And most of our young people today, maybe some of us here today, as long as the government doesn't mess with this, it doesn't matter what you do out here. You know, you can have stormtroopers all over the place. Oh, excuse me, sir. And as long as I got this, I'm okay. Amen. Okay? So we've really got to think about that. But whatever the case, God instituted human government. We don't have time to turn there, but in Mark chapter 12, verse 17, Jesus was asked, should the Jews pay taxes? The Jews were taken over by the Romans. The pagan Romans took over the chosen nation of God. And so the Pharisees figured, we can really trick Jesus here. If he says, don't pay your taxes, we'll report him to the Romans. And he'll get arrested. And he won't be our competitor anymore. Okay? Because they wanted to be number one in the Jewish religious community, not Jesus. They were rejecting Jesus as their Messiah. But if he says, pay your taxes, then the people will turn on him and say, well, he's not really a patriotic Jew. So they figured, either way, we got this guy. We got him cornered. And so they came up to Jesus, and Jesus said, give me a coin. They handed him a coin. He says, whose image is on that coin? They said, Caesar's. He said, well, then give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. Now, most of the time when we read that, all we read is, oh, okay, submit to the governing authorities. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Well, that's not all he said. He said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, what is due to Caesar, because Caesar serves a role. He's keeping peace, okay? Protecting people, you know, so you don't get mugged and people steal from you and all. You give Caesar what is due Caesar, but you give to God what is God's. What does that tell you? That also tells you, not only does it tell you to submit to the governing authorities, but it also tells you there's a place for civil disobedience, because if Caesar demands what only belongs to God, you say, no, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Okay? And so we've got to understand, this is why the ancient church, the ancient Jews refused to say Caesar is Lord. The ancient Jews said Yahweh is Lord. Then the ancient Christians, because they know Jesus is Yahweh, they said Jesus is Lord. And many were put to death. But by the way, the early church, and this is something the American church needs to learn. By the way, there are pastors that if they hear this message, local pastors, that would say, Fernandez is preaching, he's narrow-minded, he's a bigot, okay? And he's intolerant, and he's preaching an outdated gospel, and that's why he's not relevant, okay? Well, I got a problem with that. How come that's the same thing the neo-Marxists, the cultural Marxists are saying about me? And so I'll tell my pastor friends there, which side are you on? I'm preaching the same gospel that the Apostle Paul preached, okay? I'm not going to change it because I see something on television or online. So, oh, okay, we need to change this or change that. No, we may have to apply the gospel to different situations, but the gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus, remains the same, okay? It's like a few years back, we had our friends from Tacoma came and visited us, and they had gone to all these different churches that were going pro-gay marriage, and then they found my book, God, Government, the Road to Tyranny, A Christian View of Government and Morality, at a used bookstore, and they bought it for like $2 or whatever, and they read my chapter on the biblical perspective of homosexuality, where it's still a sin. It's still condemned by God. And so they were so glad that he came, but they thought maybe he changed his mind and all. So they asked what I would do if the government made it against the law to call homosexuality a sin. And I said, hey, I just preach the gospel. I'm not going to change what God's word says. I got to do what I got to do, and I guess they got to do what they got to do, you know? If they think they got to lock me up for preaching God's word, if they can find me, you know, and I'm not saying I'm really good at hiding. I'm not. Okay? I can still run a 40 in like 4.6, but it's 40 feet now. It's not 40 yards anymore. So I mean, it's not going to be a Jason Bourne chase. You know, the capture of Phil Fernandez is going to be, you know, rated G, you know. But you know, we got to have that attitude. When I trusted in Jesus for salvation, I said, okay, now I live for you, Jesus, not for me. I'm here to build your kingdom, not mine. And so that not only means you don't back down from that wimpy neighbor next door, but it means you don't back down from big, powerful government when they try to shut you up on preaching Jesus and preaching the truth. So here, Romans 13, we're to be good citizens. You know, Proverbs 29, verse 2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Okay? But we got to be careful, because politicians tend to be the best liars on the planet. Okay? because they're out there to get elected. Even Adolf Hitler would give glory to Jesus in some of his earlier speeches. At the same time, he would talk with the Gestapo behind closed doors and talk about, we got to get rid of the Jews first. After the war is over, then we got to get rid of the church. They'd infiltrated the church, try to change its thinking, like they're doing here in America today, the socialists are. But whatever the case, we got to be good citizens. Now, being good citizens, by the way, Luke, just turn to Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. The verses are listed down here, at least most of them. So, you know, we're going to be rushing through this, but you can look over this at home. You've got a handout on being a good citizen. You also have a handout on the Christian Voter's Guide, which is a good piece of information there. And Psalm 118, 8 and 9. See, right now, you know, you got the political freedom to badmouth Christianity. But if you have the audacity to stand up for Christianity, I guess we're not supposed to have that freedom anymore. That's why I tell people, Christians are still free in America. We're just not quite as free as anybody else. The only people group that have less freedom than Christians in America are unborn babies. Their right to life isn't even recognized. And we got a president who's trying to do something about that. And he catches a lot of flack for it. See, I'm telling you, do I think we can stop this downward slide to lawlessness and eventually global government and the Antichrist? No. But we have to at least, through the power of God and through the wisdom he's given us and through his truth, proclaim God's truth and try to slow it down a little bit. I would hate to be in a concentration camp in Nazi Germany and have to explain to a Jewish person or some political enemy of Hitler, try to explain why I didn't sound the warning. And there were pastors with blood on their hands back then, and many of them repented, but there's going to be pastors with blood on their hands today. It's called woke Christianity. We got churches in our community, and we got churches throughout America going woke, okay? Baptizing homosexuals and transgenders and backing socialism and all this sort of stuff. This is not from God. This is not from God. Okay? Jesus told us when false teachers come, they come as wolves in sheep's clothing. They sound real nice. They sound real good. Okay? But their lies are from the pits of hell. And so look at Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. We are to submit to the governing authorities. Verses 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. See, what a lot of people don't realize is, what a lot of Christians don't realize, God commands us to submit to the governing authorities, okay? But keep in mind, our submission to God is higher. So the apostle said we must obey God rather than men. We submit to the governing authorities. We should be the best citizens that are out there. But sometimes governments slaughter their best citizens and imprison them. We submit to the governing authorities, but you never trust the political leaders. But I would argue the Bible, if you have the freedom to vote, the Bible would actually say that you don't even trust the guy or gal you elected. So even if the ones that you think should be leading get elected, you still should not trust them. Okay? You watch them like a hawk. Okay? See, you know, the church... When the church is preaching the word, we become the conscience of our nation, okay? We become leaders, not followers. Now, the biblical view of government, look back at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verse verses 26 and 27. Why do we even have human government? We have human government, number one, because human life is sacred. Human life is worth protecting. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then at the end of Genesis 1, he looked at his creation and said, "It is very good." So human life is worth protecting because we were created in God's image. Okay? Yet, human life needs protecting because we're fallen. Now, we don't have time to read it there, but in Genesis 3, 1 to 7, the serpent deceives Adam and Eve. They fall away. Okay? They disobey God. They fall into sin. We inherit that sin nature. Well, human government is needed because human life is worth protecting. We were created in God's image, and because it needs protecting. You remove either one of those doctrines, and there's no reason for human government. Okay? So anybody who rejects the biblical doctrines of creation and the fall are either inconsistently trying to be a part of good government, or they're just in it for the power. Okay? And I would argue that many of our politicians today don't respect the doctrines of creation and the fall, and they are just in it for the power. And they will tell you they love you. Let me say this. I'll go on record saying this. I don't care if people can call me a narrow-minded bigot or whatever. I will go on record saying this. If you tell me you are for abortion, you are for killing babies before they're born, and you're a politician, and then you tell me you want my vote, and you love me, Joe and Angie didn't raise no fool. Okay? I wasn't born yesterday. I'm not that stupid. But we got politicians. Do you realize you have some people who don't want to vote for the president because he sounds mean and he's obnoxious? Okay? Hey, look, I'm not looking for a polite person or an obnoxious person. I'm looking for somebody who's going to stand up for America because it's late in the game. It's the 15th round. We're behind by points. We need a knockout to win, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Okay? So when I get people telling me they love me, Hitler would have told me he loved me. Stalin would have told me he loved me. Okay? But look, apart from the doctrines of creation and the fall, there's no basis for human government. Now here's a problem, though. Human government's going to be led by what? Sinful humans. So now you got to figure out, okay, well, we need human government, or otherwise everybody's going to kill everybody, just like before the flood. We need human government because human life is worth protecting, and it needs protecting. However, the government leaders are going to be sinful humans. So now what are we going to do about that? Well, you know what our founding fathers said? We need to have a separation of powers. Make sure no one guy or one group's sinful desires take control. Whenever we have a government red tape, everybody goes, "Oh no, this government red tape, the government's shutting down." Our founding fathers are cheering in their graves. They created our whole political system for government red tape, because the more red tape the government has, the less likely it's going to be able to enslave you. Okay? Separation of power. So the federal government, three distinct branches. And then you have this little tiny document called the Constitution, supposed to be the law of the land. If you're a Supreme Court justice who wants to make your rulings by the law of the land, the Constitution, you get called all kinds of names. Like Justice Kavanaugh, and now this lady, Justice Barrett, you get called all kinds of names just because she still believes in submitting to the law of the land. I would argue that our government is being taken over right now. That's, by the way, that's what they mean when they say things like systemic racism. They mean it's not just individual racists. Everybody knows there's individual racists in America on both sides of the equation. But systemic racism means the whole system is racist. So the whole system has to be replaced. Well, ultimately, what is the system they're talking about? They're not just talking about defunding the police department. They're talking about overthrowing the United States Constitution, which equals overthrowing the United States government. That's why if we submit to the governing authorities, see, if we submit to the governing authorities, we've got to stand up for our Constitution. We got to stand up for our government. By the way, if you look at America's past, America's history, America looks ugly. What an ugly history. The problem is they don't compare it to any other country on earth. You compare that history to other countries on earth, and America comes out looking way better than them. And this whole idea that there's a perfect America we can make someday without Jesus, that's why they call it utopia, no place. Marx isn't going to do it. Stalin's not going to do it. Hitler's not going to do it. There is no perfect government on earth until King Jesus returns. Okay? And so the Founding Fathers said we need separation of powers, the three branches, the federal government, state sovereignty. So the states only delegated that a little slice of authority to the federal government in the Constitution. Also, the Founding Fathers recognized the God-given equal rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness to all human beings. And they had a hard time battling it out to try to be consistent with that in the treatment of Native Americans and African Americans. But they understood if we are created in God's image, then we have inalienable rights, rights that cannot be taken away from us as humans unless we forfeit them, rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They recognized that God had given us the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion. Okay? You realize right now, if you take an anti-Christian, anti-American view and put it on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, that's fine. If you respond to that anti-Christian Twitter, that's when you get blocked. Okay? But we got a guy in his church, his grandson, somebody said something about President Trump that they hope he dies from the virus. And so he responded, hey, you should hope that one of your guys on your side of the aisle doesn't get it. And they temporarily blocked him. Temporarily blocked him. So, I mean, it only goes one way. Sometimes the speech is just people exercising speech and telling the truth, and they get blocked. Social media censorship. That's why this election, I don't know what's going to happen. All I can say is vote wisely. But with social media censorship, with voter fraud, let's face it, if you got two football coaches, and one wants to go by the rules, and the other one says, no, let's remove this rule, that rule, that rule, this rule. Which coach do you think wants to cheat? Okay? But with voter fraud, I think three things that could affect this election negatively and move us further into the Marxist camp. Voter fraud, social media censorship, and the woke evangelical church. The evangelical church going Marxist, thinking it's cool. By the way, if you go to a church that's trying to make God relevant, you might want to confront the pastor, but if he doesn't change his mind, go find another church. Yes. If you think that you need to make God relevant, he's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not the creator who created the heavens and the earth. By definition, God is omni-relevant. He is all-relevant. Okay? And God doesn't need our help. Okay? But freedom of speech and freedom of religion. Look at our government just shutting us down because of virus. Give us good medical advice and then let us make the choice. But if we got freedom, you know, freedom to assemble and freedom of religion and freedom of speech, you can't run our, you know, here you got freedom of speech for those who hate America and want to protest. And I'm not just talking Antifa. Even the Black Lives Matter movement, the leaders have acknowledged openly that they're trained Marxists. Now, most people in Black Lives Matter are probably not Marxists. Okay? Antifa, yeah, they're all Marxists. But the fact of the matter is their goals. In fact, I think I've heard they've taken down their goals from the internet because they talk about abolishing the family, which comes right from Marx and Engels' Communist Manifesto, 1848. They want to abolish the patriarchal family. I mean, let me tell you something. It's not just the wealth and the property that the communists claim they want shared. It's the ladies, too. You talk about godless communal living, okay? There's so much of the garbage of socialism that I know about from studying that I can't even repeat in public. And sometimes when it gets proclaimed in art, I can't even talk. If it was just a guys group, I couldn't even tell you. Some of the garbage, you know, and I'll read books that tell you about the art. I don't even want to look at the art. Horrible, horrible, godless things. The founding fathers also knew, you know what? With all these checks and balances and separation of powers, if we're going to limit human government, we cannot take away the people's right to bear arms. You realize the right to bear arms is the final check in a system of checks and balances that keeps us free? I would go so far to say, and by the way, I'm not a big, like, guns right activist or this or that as far as, like, that's my message. I just preach Jesus, okay? But I will say this. You know, I've studied the issues. I look at the philosophy of government. I look at history, the history of Western civilization, and the final roadblock that needs to fall before we'll have global tyranny is the armed American middle class. It's the reason why Japan did not invade the 48 states in America. They actually sent troops to Alaska, bad choice, barren rock. The poor guys just died up there. And I saw video footage of where they went. It was not a good strategic choice. Alaskans don't even go to that part of Alaska. And, of course, Pearl Harbor, we know what they did with Hawaii. But when it came to invading the mainland of the United States, they did their research and they came back and said, no, we don't stand a chance of winning because there'd be a rifle behind every blade of grass. They weren't afraid of the American military or the American government. They were afraid of just hardworking Americans. You know, I had a student who once told me they think Donald Trump wants to be a dictator. I said, if Donald Trump wants to be a dictator, why doesn't he take away our right to bear arms? That's what all the other dictators do. You want to enslave people, you got to disarm them. And then God is opposed to global government. Remember the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11? God's not a racist. He didn't separate mankind into different nations because he's a racist. He's not a racist. He created us all. He loves us all. He sent his son to die for us all. Okay? God's not a racist. But God did not want all mankind united while in rebellion against him. Okay? Because God knew. God said, now nothing's going to be impossible for them to do. They speak the same language. So God divided their languages. Okay? Well, you know what the United Nations is? The United Nations is another attempt at the Tower of Babel. Okay? And we're going to solve all mankind's problems. We have Bible verses about turning instruments of war into instruments of farming over the door in New York to the UN building. No, those are passages about Jesus, the Prince of Peace, when he comes back. But God is opposed to mankind being united while still in rebellion against them. And when we do unite in our rebellion against them, we will get the leader we deserve. He's called the Antichrist, demon-possessed man who will rule the world in the last days. I don't know about you, but I don't want to build the bricks for the road leading to global government, the New World Order, the kingdom of the Antichrist. So basically, human life is worth protecting. Human life needs protecting. So we need human government. However, human government must be limited because our leaders are sinful humans. Okay? Now, we already looked at that passage in Romans 13 that we should submit to the governing authorities because it's the government's job to protect law-abiding citizens. Okay? If it wasn't for our government being such a good government for so long, I wouldn't be able to preach this message today. Now, to be honest with you, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to preach it tomorrow. I mean, I'm still going to preach it tomorrow, but I'm not sure I can get away with it. But it's the government's job to protect law-abiding citizens, their lives, their property, their rights, and their liberty. The government should not try to replace the church, and it should not try to replace God. Okay? Whenever the government gives you a free lunch, gives you free food, it always comes with strings attached. Okay? By the way, you feed a guy who's starving, you know what he wants to do? He wants to worship you. You put food in a starving man's belly, he wants to worship you. If you're a Christian, what do you say? Don't worship me, worship the Lord. I just do it because the Lord is working through me. Okay? The state feeds a hungry person, and the person wants to worship the state, you know what the state says? Bring it on. Bring it on, and there's more where that came from. And that's what I call it, the deification of the state. We are worshiping the state. By the way, Hegel taught this, and that was his goal, was the deification of the state. And so we're going to see the deification of the state is synonymous with the death of man. And I'll be honest with you, socialism is the deification of the state. It's all-powerful government. The government controls the economy, controls the way you think, the way you speak. Okay? That's the government trying to be God. By the way, the ancient emperors who wanted all power, they didn't have this thing called technology. Their technology, they could try, but you could get far enough away from them. You could hide, and they couldn't find you. Not anymore. You got guys like Bill Gates. They want to track every human being on the planet Earth. And Bill Gates, the population control nut. He also wants to remove at least 1 or 2 billion people from the planet Earth. Seems like a nice guy, doesn't he? He talks real nice. Well, guess what? That's a lot of Christians are doing that. We're going to vote for the guys who talk nice, the guys and gals who talk nice and tell us nice things. Again, that's a good litmus test for me. If you're okay with killing babies before they're born, and you want to see that taxpayers' money paying for that, and you don't want to see Planned Parenthood held to account for selling aborted baby body parts, you tell me you love me? Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am. You are a liar. You're a cold-blooded liar, and you're not going to get my vote. Okay? But it's the government's job to protect law-abiding citizens, protect their lives and rights and liberty. The government should not go out of its God-ordained role and try to replace the church or try to replace God. The government should not punish the good and reward the evil, and that's what we're seeing a lot going on right now. You get protesters in St. Louis go into a gated community that says no trespassing. They break down the gate. They walk down in front of this couple's house. They start screaming threats at them. They come out threatening to kill them and their dog. They come out, him with a rifle, her with a pistol, to stand their ground. And so eventually all these protesters leave. So what does St. Louis do? They charge the guy and his wife that were just protecting their own house. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Okay? We're living in those days. And so all I'm asking is you stand up for the good. Stand up for what is right. And we're not trying to create a perfect society here on earth. That's Jesus' job. Jesus will do that. But we just want the good law-abiding people protected, and we want the evildoers punished. Okay? And but government should not punish the good and reward the evil. As we mentioned earlier, we should not trust the government leaders, even if it's the one you voted for. And when necessary, we must obey God rather than government. We are to submit to the governing authorities, but our submission to God is our ultimate submission. Just like a wife should submit to her husband, okay, Bible commands it. But what if her husband says, hey, you know, honey, I don't like the guy's music next door. He plays his music too loud. Could you go next door and kill him? Well, it's pretty obvious. The wife's to submit to her husband, but ultimately her submission is to God. And if her husband is ordering her to disobey God, you know, she's got to say, no, I must obey God rather than my husband. Yes. And so when necessary, we must obey God rather than government. A good citizen puts God first and government second. You know, like Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Right now, we have people, the establishment of one party and the entire other party, that want what only belongs to God. Whether it's the neoconservative Republicans, that's why President Trump caused so much flack. He ticked off the Republican establishment, the neoconservative Americans, who are somewhat like the Nazis. They were patriotic Americans, but through the American military, they wanted to build the New World Order with America as the engine of the New World Order. The socialist Democrats hate America and blame all the world's problems on America. They want to take the wealth of the American middle class, give it to the United Nations and European dictators, and have Europe rule the New World Order with America as the caboose. Either way, it's global government. Okay? And so what we have to do, just like Rahab the harlot, who refused to submit to the governing authorities, and she lied to protect two innocent Jewish spies, the Hebrew midwives in Egypt, that refused to submit to the Pharaoh and lied and saved the newborn children of the Israelites. The apostles, we must obey God rather than men. Corrie ten Boom, who hid in her house, disobeyed when the Nazis took over Holland, disobeyed the Nazi government, lied to them and didn't tell them they were hiding innocent Jewish people in their house until they got caught. Then they ended up going to concentration camps themselves. Her sister died in a concentration camp. Her dad died from complications due to the concentration camp. Corrie ten Boom was eventually released on a clerical error after suffering horribly there. You realize we need more Corrie ten Booms. Amen. You know, are you willing to suffer for Christ? I don't know if I am. Because I equate suffering for Christ, meaning you know, I open up my freezer and find out I ran out of chimichangas. Oh no, now I can relate to Job. It's the end of the world. You know, this is after three full meals too, right? And I don't even think I know what suffering is. Amen. We need more Corrie ten Booms. Do you realize that she and her sister and the ladies that they had led to Christ in the barracks, in the concentration camp they were, they praised God and thanked God for the lice? Do you know any Americans who thank God for lice? You know why they thank God for lice? Because then the Nazi soldiers, the Nazi guards, would refuse to go into their barracks, so they couldn't stop them from having Bible study. Okay? That's the difference between the American church and Corrie ten Boom. Okay? Corrie ten Boom, she praises God for lice so they can gather and study the Bible. we stopped gathering because we're afraid of a virus that kills less than 1% of the people. And in fact, don't get me wrong, this is a serious virus. And there are people that should be protected. But the fact of the matter is, for the government, you know, give us advice, but for the government to tell the church you can't gather anymore? President Trump wants to speak in Las Vegas to evangelical leaders, and he can't do it in a church because Nevada says that many people can't safely meet in a church. So he has to speak to them in a casino. So casinos can have lots and lots of people and do it safely. Churches can't. I'm telling you, your government doesn't love you right now. Okay? I will give you this. Donald Trump is obnoxious. He's like that uncle that when you make a new friend, you don't want to, you go home and you find out, oh no, Uncle Rocco's here. Oh, you know? He's obnoxious. Everything he says, every time he opens his mouth, is politically incorrect. Defends somebody. He's gruff, foul mouth. But guess what? You lose your job. You got no place to sleep. Or you get an argument with your dad. You get kicked out of your house. You always knew you could call up Uncle Rocco. Oh, yeah, he's going to curse you out. But he's going to throw a sleeping bag on his living room floor and you got a place to sleep. He's going to share his food with you. But, you know, you think, everybody hates Donald Trump. Let me tell you something. They don't hate Donald Trump because he's a jerk. He is, but they don't hate him because he's a jerk. They hate Donald Trump because they hate us. They don't love us. And I don't know why God picked him. I mean, he picked Jacob, to be Israel, and the father of 12 tribes of Israel. I mean, I don't know why him. I like Esau better, God. I could hang out and watch football with Esau. Jacob? But for some reason, Donald Trump is the guy who said, you know what, you elect me as your president. I think America's worth saving. I'll go to bat for you. It's like what one Christian lady said. She said, how can you be a Christian and vote for Donald Trump? And she said, I'm not voting for a boyfriend. I'm voting for a bodyguard. You know? So things are so bad, there's a lot of Americans who think we need a bodyguard. And I don't want people backing down from the Chinese Communist government, from the North Korean Communist government, from the Iranians. But whatever the case, we must oppose the death of man and the deification of the state. Socialism is the deification of the state. Now I'm going to read something from Paul Kengor. He wrote a work, The Devil and Karl Marx. And this is kind of humiliating for me. I left the Catholic Church, and I'm glad I did. And I don't think the popes are infallible. And I think there's a lot of false teachings in Catholicism. At the same time, Pope Pius IX, in 1846, 2 years before Marx and Engels published the Communist Manifesto, he already knew what communism and socialism was. It was already spreading throughout Europe. But he stated this about communism. It's absolutely contrary to the natural law itself. And then he stated that if adopted, it would, and I quote, utterly destroy the rights, property, and possessions of all men, and even society itself. Okay? He talks about them being wolves in sheep's clothing. And after taking their captives gently, they mildly bind them and then kill them in secret. They make men fly in terror from all practice of religion, and they cut down and dismember the sheep of the Lord. They are filled with deceit and cunning. Listen to what else he said in 1846 in a written document. As a result of this filthy medley of errors, we see morals deteriorated, Christ's most holy religion despised, the majesty of divine worship rejected, the sanctity of marriage infringed. So here you had Catholic thinkers like the Pope in 1846, 2 years before Marx and Engels wrote the Communist Manifesto, and they already knew that one of the things that was going to be attacked by communism was the family and the marriage. Another pope later on in 1878, Pope Leo XIII, talking about communists, he said, they debase the natural union of man and woman held sacred even among barbarous peoples and its bond by which the family is chiefly held together. Doctrines of socialism strive almost completely to dissolve this union. See, right now, cultural Marxism today is called critical theory. And we like critical race theory is one of those where all whites are racist. It doesn't matter what you think, how you act, what you do. It's systemic. Okay? But critical theory takes all the pillars of Western civilization and tries to bring down every one of those pillars, whether it's education or the media or race relations or male-female, you know, marriage, the family. And that's what critical theory is. Now, let me say this, too, that the Communist Party in America, they were pretty much working for Moscow, and they were classical Marxist. But as time went on, they saw that economic Marxism, you know, it's like even Lenin saw in Russia that you can get the workers. You know, Marx said, workers of the world unite. He wanted a world revolution of workers. You have nothing to lose but your chains. Well, even Lenin in Russia realized that the workers, you can get them to unionize and go on strike. You can't get them to revolt. So what Lenin said, we need professional anarchists, professional revolutionaries. They'll take over. And then instead of the dictatorship of the proletariat, would Marx call for a dictatorship of the working class, we'll have the professional revolutionaries, who happen to be the most cold-blooded people on the planet Earth. They'll rule. And so we see what Lenin and Stalin did together, killing over 100 million of their own people, apart from war. By the way, don't let anybody fool you. War is bad. But big government has killed way more people than wars have. And we're just talking about Dr. R.J. Rummel's research between 1917 and 1991, killing between 170 million and 320 million people apart from war. And so big government kills. But as time went on, guys like Antonio Gramsci out of Italy, he said, you know, Marx, we can't, revolution's not going to happen. We need evolution. Let's infiltrate the churches. And boy, over 1,000 infiltrated the Roman Catholic Church. A lot were homosexual activists. A lot were communist activists to change the thinking. Okay? By the way, the last two popes, Pope Benedict and John Paul II, were big opponents of socialism and communism. This current guy, he's an environmental wacko. He is big time into socialism. So this Pope Francis is not my friend. But whatever the case, but they realized we need to move into culture, change the culture through critical theory. Okay? And so that's where you get Horkheimer. The Frankfurt School came out of Germany and eventually came to Columbia University in America and changed our whole educational system. In the 1930s, they came. And the Horkheimer, Adorno, Marcuse, and then eventually Saul Alinsky, who wrote Rules for Radicals, and he paid his respects to Lucifer. He didn't dedicate the book to Lucifer, but paid his respect to him. Just pick up Rules for Radicals, you'll see that. President Obama taught Saul Alinsky when he was a university professor. Hillary Clinton, that was her bachelor's thesis, was on Saul Alinsky and his view. And by the way, she wasn't refuting the guy either. Okay? But basically, what W. Cleon Skousen, so here we see, we looked at what the Roman Catholic leaders had said. Where's the Protestant church on this? By the way, as the Catholic church got infiltrated, so did mainline Protestantism. You know, first it was going on in Europe, here in America, from the early 1900s on, Protestant Christianity began to get infiltrated, and that's why you had this the evangelical movement and stuff. Now the evangelical church is being infiltrated. But let me just read from W. Cleon Skousen's The Naked Communist. I believe it first was put in print in 1958, but it says that this guy was a Mormon. So, you know, where are the evangelical thinkers? Okay? Yeah, C.S. Lewis's Abolition of Man was real good, but he did consider himself a, kind of a mild form of democratic socialism. So not exactly. It used to be people thought you either had to side with the Nazis or the Marxists. Very few people, like the Catholic philosopher Dietrich von Hildebrand and Pope John Paul II and Cardinal Ratzinger became Pope Benedict. There were very few Christian thinkers who realized we got to oppose both. They're both godless. And but the evangelical church is so anti-intellectual. If we were following Satan, we wouldn't even know it. Okay, but here's, he listed 45 goals of the Communist Party. This, he basically took it from congressional hearings where people like Whitaker Chambers and Bella Dodd, former communist who had converted to Christianity, testified before Congress. He also took it from the communist literature. He came up 45 goals of the Communist Party. I'm just going to read some of them. So this goes back to the 1930s. Okay? Develop the illusion that total disarmament by the United States would be a demonstration of moral strength. So the fact that we were cutting back. Permit free trade among all nations, regardless of communist affiliation and regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. So have treaties with countries like China and Iran, even though we're basically giving them funds to enable them to build their militaries to attack us someday. Provide American aid to all nations regardless of communist domination. By the way, my 1987 book, Decay of a Nation, The Need for National Revival, I quote from some of these. Okay, Skousen wrote it in 1958. Grant recognition of Red China, admission of Red China to the UN. By the way, we've pretty much done all of these. Promote the UN as the only hope for mankind. Resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party. Do away with all loyalty oaths. One of the few countries you don't have to take an oath to defend the Constitution to be some kind of government leader. You know, well, actually, we do take those oaths in still some selected areas, but the teachers used to have to take that oath. Not anymore. Right now, I think very few of them would even want to take it. Capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. I'm telling you, they've captured one, and they've got the elitist in the other camp, and so we'll see what's going to happen. But it's bad. Use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. So get things like gay marriage legalized. Get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations. Put the party line in textbooks. Gain control of all student newspapers. Use student riots to foment public protest against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. Infiltrate the press. Gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. Continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. Control art critics and directors of art museums. Our plan, he's quoting them, our plan is to promote ugliness, repulsive, meaningless art. By the way, I cannot describe for you the descriptions that I've read of some of the, whether it's homoerotic art or just postmodern art that is out there. And sometimes, you know, one, they call it urine Christ, but with the word pee. And it's an upside-down cross submerged in urine. Your taxpayers' money paid for that. Okay? Eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. So you preach the gospel, that's got to be censored. You promote pornography, that's freedom of speech. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. Promote homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, healthy. Keep in mind, we are not reading one of Paul's letters here. We're reading the goals of the Communist Party in the United States of America, and it sounds like where we've been for decades now. Infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion, the social gospel, social justice movement. Eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. We took prayer to the public schools in 1963. 10 years later, we were slaughtering babies before they were born. Discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. You know, what are they talking about President Trump right now? They're saying that, oh, we got such a bad reputation with the rest of the world. You know what? I don't care about the rest of the world. I mean, I care about getting the gospel message to them, but I don't care about financing the dictators who enslave them. Discredit the American founding fathers. Gee, is that going on today? Belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history. Support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of culture. Education, social agencies, welfare programs, mental health clinics, etc. Let me tell you, the government doesn't care about you. And when the government wants to take control of your health care, don't be looking to a good future there. Eliminate the House Committee on Un-American Activities. We did get rid of it. And, you know, let me tell you something. Everybody slams McCarthy, Joe McCarthy. Name one guy that he called, publicly called a communist, who wasn't a communist. I think that's when America kind of lost the battle. And so now all we're doing is just biding time, so we have more time to preach the gospel. Discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. Actually, they probably changed that one because they infiltrated it and took it over. So the FBI, you know, our secret services don't spy on the Russians or the Chinese government. We spy on our own president if we don't like him. Normally that'd be sedition or treason. Infiltrate and gain control of more unions. Infiltrate and gain control of big business. Transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders, which no one but psychiatrists can understand or treat. What are the people saying they want to defund the police? They want psychologists and social workers going out there. Let me tell you, when the bad guy has got a weapon or he's just big and strong, I want a police officer, okay? God bless the psychologists and the social workers, but I want somebody who's trained to fight. Dominate the psychiatric profession. This is where cultural Marxism basically blended Marx with Freud and came with this cultural Marxism. Discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition. I even heard CNN reporters saying that. When guys were setting things on fire, you know, you had the CNN reporter saying, this is mostly a peaceful protest, and everything's on fire in the background. It's like, dude, turn around, man. You know, I heard CNN reporters saying that, well, America's always had this activity of resistance and protest. And look, violence and insurrection as legitimate aspects of American tradition? No. The American Revolution, we can debate that issue. I side that our founding fathers were right. Some Christian scholars on one side, some on the other side. I'm glad. They all, by the way, both sides celebrate the 4th of July. And then give the world court jurisdiction over nations and individuals alike. It is amazing how many treaties we signed that surrendered United States sovereignty that this president is undoing. See, President Obama, and I would even say President the Bushes before him and the Clintons, they set the table to merge America with an international global state, and Donald J. Trump, for some reason, rained on their parade. And they've been throwing a tantrum ever since. And so while we still have political say, we should vote, but vote wisely. Okay? If you're not informed on these issues, and I don't want you voting, I want you to know the issues and vote wisely. Abortion, infanticide, euthanasia. We have states now that have legalized physician-assisted suicide. Even before that, we had court rulings. We were starving people to death. Terry Schiavo was the poster child that decided to go public with starving to death people who weren't dying, disabled people. But abortion, killing babies before they're born. Infanticide, killing babies after they're born. I think New York and Virginia, if a baby survives an abortion, you give it comfort care. What does that mean? You don't try to save the life of the baby. You make the baby die comfortably. Okay? Euthanasia. You think we don't have judgment coming? God's words, you know, human life. David was sinful from the day he was conceived. Psalm 51:5. Tissue isn't sinful. Human beings are sinful. Now medical science understands. You could talk to pro-abortionists like Peter Singer at Princeton or Watson and Crick, pro-abortionists. Modern medical science has proved human life starts at the moment of conception. Okay? So we are killing human beings. The Bible opposes the killing of innocent human beings. Human life starts at conception. That's why we need originalists on the Supreme Court. They respect the Constitution, the law of the land. And let me tell you, if Roe versus Wade gets overturned, it will not end abortion. It will just mean it will go back to the states. And we got an uphill battle here in liberal Washington state. Freedom of religion. Any infringement on our freedom of religion and speech should be opposed. Let me tell you, there's like the Alliance for the Defense of Freedom, the Rutherford Institute, the ACLJ. I don't know how I got three C's there, but the ACLJ, the Liberty Council, Pacific Justice Institute. Our personal lawyer is David Gibbs III, who defended Terry Schiavo's parents out of the Georgia, Florida area. And we get advice from him on political protection. I also received some advice from the Pacific Justice Institute, and I've talked to the ADF at times. But it's to the point where the gay rights movement is not about rights for homosexuals. If two guys want to get married, have a bogus marriage down a block, performed by a bogus minister and get a bogus piece of paper on the wall, I don't have any say over that. I don't know how I'm going to stop it. I mean, if most Americans are not Christians, we're probably not going to outlaw that stuff anymore. So that's not what the gay rights movement is about. The gay rights movement is all about infringing on Christians' freedom of speech and freedom of religion. So when a Christian baker doesn't want to bake a cake for a gay wedding, they lose their business. When a Christian florist doesn't want to provide flowers for a gay wedding, she loses her business. The same with the guy making the T-shirts. He didn't want to put gay messages, pro-gay messages on the T-shirts. Now, by the way, those three, and it was Colorado, I think Washington, forget the other state, but those three have been overturned in the Supreme Court, okay? But that's only because President Donald Trump has selected two, and now he's going for three people on the Supreme Court. Freedom of religion. So any infringement on our freedom of religion and speech should be opposed. Border security. Right to bear arms. Funding the police. A strong military. Believe me, if American sovereignty fails, global tyranny will follow. You think European socialism is nice? Wait till you see what happens when America go socialist. There's stuff they dream of doing in Europe to their people, but they can't get away with it because of the U.S. government. Education, we're supposed to train our children in the wisdom of the Lord. Right now, our kids are being trained in critical race theory. They're being trained that transgenderism and homosexuality is fine. I mean, we're talking elementary school kids, let alone high school and college age kids. So I'm all for homeschooling and Christian schools. A Republican Party is for vouchers. Allow poor inner city minorities to get a write-off on their taxes by taking a few thousand dollars and putting their kids in a Christian school. I mean, when the Obamas and the Clintons are always against the private schools and pro-public schools because of the liberal teachers union, but they always put their kids in private schools. You know? It's like, you can't put your kid in a private school, but we're going to put our kids in a private school because we're the elite. You don't have the right to bear arms. Was the Mayor de Blasio, when Tucker Carlson interviewed him, and he was talking about disarming all Americans. And he asked de Blasio, he said, so that means you're going to disarm your bodyguards. And he said, of course not. And then Tucker Carlson said, okay, now I know what you're talking about. You are so special and so important, you have the right to have yourself and your family protected by firearms, but not us, not the peons, okay? And but education, we're supposed to train up our children in the wisdom of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4. We're to oppose racism. We are to love our neighbors. All humans are created equal. We're to desire that every person would come to Christ and be saved. Do you realize what I just said there is classified as racism in our high schools and our universities today? Critical race theory is actually a Marxist racist ideology. When you take a whole people group and say, okay, you are all racist, without even looking at, not judging them as by their character, what did Martin Luther King Jr. said? Don't judge a man by the color of his skin, judge him by his character. You realize if I say that today and I don't say where I got it from, I'm a racist. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. We've got to understand taxation is not just about money. It's a control issue. The more of our money the government takes, the less freedom we have. You can give somebody the right to bear arms. If the guy can't afford to buy a firearm to protect his family, what good is it? You can give a guy freedom of religion. But how influential is his church going to be if he has no money to donate to it? So taxation is a control issue. If the government taxes half of your income, you're half free. Okay? The late Greg Bonson, he goes a little further than I do, but he used to argue that God says 10% of what you make. He used to argue any government that wants more than 10% is trying to play God. Well, our government wants a lot more than 10%. And then only voter ID will promote fair elections. This idea that, you want to buy a beer, you got to show ID. You want to get firearms, you got to show ID and get background checks. You want to vote, who cares? Okay? We already had that guy in Minnesota. There's an investigation going on in Minneapolis. Had stolen over 300... He was getting $20 for each one that he stole, over 300 blank voting pamphlets that he stole from senior citizen homes for a particular politician and her people in Minneapolis. And, that's the kind of stuff you expect in Panama and North Korea, not the United States of America. And then we should oppose political corruption. Let me tell you, everybody wants to slam the president and his tax returns, but it was all legal, whatever it was. Otherwise, he'd be in prison, believe me. Now, the other side of the issue, there are politicians who, when they take the White House, either as the president or the vice president, and they were not millionaires when they went in, and now they are millionaires multiple times over. Okay? So, right after Hillary Clinton can sign off on Russia buying a whole chunk of our plutonium supply. You need plutonium to build nuclear weapons. Bill Clinton gets asked to speak in Moscow and makes like a quarter of $1 million for one talk. What's wrong with this picture? And there's more of that stuff that's in the news right now. And so I just want us to close with Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. I just want to close with this. Romans 12, 1 and 2. In fact, just Romans 12, 2. I'm also going to read from Psalm 119, the entire chapter. No, I'm only kidding. Just Psalm 1, the first three verses. Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't listen to the ungodly, even if they call you a racist, even if they call you a bad word. Is that where we're at? Where our skin is so thin that you just call us a bad word? Okay, I won't preach Jesus anymore. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You want to be prosperous? You live your life on God's word. You saturate your life with God's word. Now keep in mind, what God calls prosperous and what the world calls prosperous are often two different things. So John the Baptist and Paul, they were prosperous, but they were still buried separate, their bodies separate from their heads. Okay? But I want to be prosperous in the eyes of the triune God, even if that means being beaten by men. And in conclusion here, Romans 12, 2, and do not be conformed. That means don't be outwardly conformed to this world. We're not of this world. You know, Jesus said, if you find the world hates you, know it's hated me before it hated you. Jesus warned us there'd be wolves in sheep's clothing. Okay? Do not be outwardly conformed to this world, but be transformed, be inwardly transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the study of God's word. Okay? Don't be outwardly conformed to this world, but be inwardly transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has a perfect will for you, and you're not going to walk in that will unless you get filled with the Spirit and your mind gets renewed through studying God's word and through a prayer life and through being all that God called you to be. But beware of fake news. There are wolves in sheep's clothing. Be willing to stand for truth and stand for what is right. Be willing to suffer for Jesus. Right now, they're just calling us names. It's going to get, and then shutting down some of our businesses. It's going to get worse. Be willing to stand for Jesus and suffer for Jesus. And don't be deceived. This is the scariest thing I'm going to say in the whole message. Do not be deceived, or you might end up fighting for the evil side. Okay? I would hate to be one of those pastors who has to apologize to his flock and say, okay, I was wrong for siding with the Nazis for the last 2 years. I would hate to be a pastor in the Soviet Union apologizing to his flock, saying, I really thought they were here for the poor. I really thought they cared about us. Okay? Don't be deceived. Study the word, or you might end up fighting for the evil side. If you want to know where the politicians stand on each of these issues, and by the way, it's pretty much the divide right now between the two parties, is you got a pro-American party that's a pro-Christian party, and the other party is anti-American and anti-Christian. You got a party that wants America to remain sovereign. You got a party that wants globalism. You got a party that's anti-abortion and a party that's pro-abortion. But if you want to see where they stand, the Christian Voter Guide 2020, we've got copies of that on the side. And so I encourage you to vote, but vote wisely, but study the word. But let me tell you, I think it was actually easier in some ways to be a Christian in the book of Acts, because all you had to do was just obey the word, just obey God's word. But because we have so much more political power, we got to be both a good Christian and a good citizen, which means we got to do a whole lot of studying that the early church didn't have to do and try to figure out, gee, I want to be a good citizen. If there's an upcoming, you know, an Adolf Hitler behind the curtains, I don't want to help him get to power. But whatever the case, let's close with a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' precious name,